with you. Sometimes we complain through the storm. Is anybody here going through some kind of trouble in life? And you say, why me? Why is this happening to me? Lord, why am I going through this? Well, we have a tendency to complain. I do. I have a tendency to be negative about when I'm going through a storm. I heard about one man that was a monk. He had been a monk, and they told this monk to sign a vow. They said, the first 10 years of your here stay at this monastery, you can't say a word. 10 years, no word at all. And after 10 years, they said, all right, we're going to let you speak. So the monk spoke up and said, they wondered what he was going to say. He'd been there 10 years now, and he said, the food is bad. 10 more years passed by. He couldn't say anything until 10 more years. 10 more years passed by. He said something else. They let him speak. What are you going to say? He said, the bed is hard. They said, 10 more years you can speak. And then after that, you got to wait 10 years. So the first 10 years, he said, the food is bad. The second 10 years, he said, the bed is hard. The third 10 years, which is 30 years, he had been there. He said, I quit. I quit. And they said, no wonder. You've complained ever since you've been here. So don't complain ever since you've been there, amen. Turn to the book of Acts in chapter 27. Here is a wonderful, wonderful account. The Lord's had me to preach from this text about three times the last 22 years. But this message is absolutely different, and there's some different things God has showed me about this particular passage. It's just absolutely wonderful how the Bible is inexhaustible. Look at Acts chapter 27, if you would stand to your feet, as we read one verse of Scripture, namely verse 24. Acts chapter 27 and verse 24. You're well aware that the physician Luke is the author of this particular book called the book of Acts. Acts chapter 27, and look with me, let's start in verse 23. Acts chapter 27, verse 23. And for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. This is the word of God, and all God's people said. Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess I'm nothing but you're everything. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, you'll stir our hearts today. You'll, God, encourage us, Lord. Lift us above the storm. Give us wisdom, Lord. Help us to yield as a piece of clay in the potter's hand. I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. I expect you, God, our Father, because you said your word will not return to you void. And we just trust you, Lord. I don't know what everybody's going through, Father, but we pray now in the name of Jesus, Satan will be bound from this place. And God, you'll help us to get real. You'll help us to get honest. Lord, you'll help us to turn to you and trust in you. And Father, you'll pull us through the storms of life. We thank you now for the blood of the Lamb. We praise you now for the power of the cross of Christ. Lord, thank you that you are a answering God. You hear our prayers. You feel our pain. You promise us deliverance. So, Father, I'm asking God for your glory today, that you'll get the glory and honor, and that, Lord, people will feel and sense your presence. And, Father, there'll be burdens that'll be lifted. There'll be our God, maybe some lost sinner to come to Jesus. And, Father, for those of us that are kind of caught in a rut, pray, God, that you'll open our hearts, move us forward, help us to be encouraged. Lord, get us, Lord, trusting in you with all of our heart. I'm praying for my heart. God, you know me, and I confess again, I'm totally helpless without you. Thank you, Lord, what you did in the revival meeting at Oak Hill Baptist Church. Lord, I praise you for every life that was forever changed by the power of a living, risen Christ. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do here. And Lord, we pray for a homecoming next week. God, that you'll help us to be busy, that you'll help us to see the fields are white in the harvest. Oh, God, help us, Father, to join you as we reap the harvest fields. Lord, at a desperate time when America and when our God, Lord, things are going and just opposite of what we believe you want them to go. God, we pray now that thank you, Father, again for the Clegg family, Blue Heaven. And we just commit this time to you, Spirit of the living God. Speak to us, and we thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. We love you now and bless you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. All right, here are three places that I believe God has wanted to take you this morning. That God wants to take you and to make you to bless you. How many believe that God wants to bless you today? You don't believe God wants to bless you? Well, he's not going to bless you if you don't believe he's going to bless you. He wants to bless you. Hello? If you came for a blessing, you will be blessed. Some of us, our mind is wandering. Our focus is not on God and on the Word of God. But he wants you to be a blessing. He allows us to go through the storms. Here they are. Number one, before the storm, preparation. Before the storm. You got it? Number two, in the storm, confirmation. In the storm, confirmation. Number three, after the storm, direction. Hey, follow that trend of thought. Number one, before the storm, preparation. Oh, God wants to get us ready. Number two, in the storm, confirmation. I'm glad God can speak to us when we're in the midst of the storm. And number three, after the storm, direction. Your eyes are going to open up. You may have seen this account several times, but I believe it'll be a blessing to you, beloved, today. Number one, before the storm, preparation. Can I tell you what's happening in Acts chapter 27? You know, probably some of you already, the character. How many believe that God's got a purpose and a plan for you? He's got a plan for you today. It hadn't caught God by surprise what you're going through. God's not on his throne wringing his hands. He's not worried at taking Maalox and popping antidepressant pills. He knows what you're going through, child of God. He's God, and there's none other like our God. I'm telling you, God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Paul, first his conversion, then his calling, then his challenge, then his confrontation, and then his commitment. Paul, in the book of Acts, is the main focus of his character. He was gloriously saved on the road to Damascus. God called him out of a life of religion into a relationship with the living God. It makes all the difference in the world whether you've got religion. Today, you need to get rid of it. Do you really have a relationship with God? Have you talked with him today? Are you walking with him, beloved? Are you obeying him, beloved? Are you in the center of his will? Passion for him and a passion to know him. And do you have a consuming desire to see other people come to know him? If you don't want to spend time with him, if you don't have that desire to please him, then something's wrong. It can be fixed today, though, thank God. Paul was gloriously converted, and then God called him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles as well as the Jews. He went to the Jews, but the Jews didn't want to hear it, so he went to the Gentiles. Then, after his calling and his conversion, came his challenge. They didn't want to hear the Word of God, like a lot of people today don't want to hear the Word of God. But nevertheless, hey, listen to me, beloved. We have got to be faithful to God and leave the results to Him. God's called us to be faithful. You look around and say, nobody else is going to church. Nobody else is happy and excited about the Lord. Nobody else is going soul winning. Nobody else is doing this. Well, wide and broad is the gate that leads to destruction. Just because the majority are going to hell, does that mean? Just because the majority is carnal and lukewarm and worldly, and by and large, as a nation, we desperately need revival. Just because everybody else is not on fire for God don't mean you can't be on fire for God. Wait a minute. We're going through storms. Well, first of all, notice his challenge and then his confrontation, but his commitment willing to go. Now, I said all that in preparation leading up to this. Before the storm, how many believe that if you're not in a storm now, you'll be going in a storm before too long? Can I get an amen? Watch this. God says, I'm going to take you here, but I'm going to take you here. God's got a preparation. He's got in before the storm. God's purpose was for Paul. And if you took up the count, you'll find out God said, Paul, you're going to Rome, son. In fact, Paul, he appealed to Festus and Felix and said, I want to go to stand before Caesar. It was the will of, watch this. Paul's right here, but God's going to take him right here. Hey, watch. Paul said, I want to go to Rome. God said, I'm going to take you to Rome. But wait a minute. He's on his journey. Preparation before the storm. Do you know that if you read Acts 27, you'd find out he enters a ship. There's a man that's the centurion, Julius, who is appointed to watch over the prisoners. And the first thing you know, the ship gets in a wind that's contrary. Next thing you know, they change ships to the Alexander ship. Now, this was a big ship, beloved. It was about 100 feet long, a big ship, 1,000 tons, a big ship. We're not talking about a little bit old fishing boat here. A big ship. And Paul is entering this ship found in the first few verses of Acts 27. He gets in the ship and his preparation. He's going to go. He's going to point A. God said, I'm going to take you from here, Jerusalem. I'm going to take you to Rome. You've got to go, Paul. Now, if you miss that, you miss what we're going to talk about today. Can I tell you, God's got a plan for you. God's got a purpose for you, sir. God's got a purpose for you, ma'am. And it ain't over till it's over. You might be in a storm now. You might not understand now. You might be asking questions. I don't know what exactly you're facing, but I know this. When God said he's going to take you somewhere, he's going to take you where he wants you to be. It doesn't matter if all hell breaks loose. God is on his throne. God is on his throne. Listen, beloved, you're saying today, but what are you up to in my life, Lord? God's purpose to take us to a place. Can't tell you what happened in the revival meeting. It was on Wednesday night, and God was moving. Bless his holy name. And the Lord, the altar was filled usually night after night, service after service. The glory of God fell. I'm just glad to be a part of a service like that. Can I get an amen? It was just glorious. You had a part in it. You were praying. But one night, it was Wednesday night, the Lord gave the invitation, and I noticed a lady in the back of the church. She was probably in her 70s now. She got up out of her seat. People were coming to the altar. People were weeping. People were praying. And the glory of God was falling. I'm telling you, God down at Oak Hill Baptist Church is the same God of New Rocky Creek Baptist Church. It's just obedience. It's obedience on our part. When's the last time you've been to the altar? When's the last time you got on your knees? When's the last time you cried out to God for some lost soul? We just get sidetracked, don't we? We just get preoccupied about things in this world. We're to be in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And God knows how to bring us back in his will. God knows how to get us back on the firing line. God knows how to get us in the center of his main blessing. Here's the thrust. Here's the thrust of the message. How to be a blessing and how to get blessed. How to be a blessing and how to get blessed. It doesn't matter if you're going through a storm now. God can still bless you in the storm. And he can make you a blessing. We're going somewhere in the message. God wants to make you a blessing. I know you've been through a lot. And I don't know exactly all you've been through. But I know God Almighty can use what you've gone through and make you a blessing to no telling how many more people. And that's why you're going through what you're going through. Now that you say, okay, God wants to bless me through what I'm going through, plus God wants me to be a blessing to somebody else. We're going to see that this morning. It's going to cause you to shout. It's going to cause you to say, hallelujah, Lord, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. He did for Paul, and he's got one for you. This lady, 70 years old, got up out of her seat, and let me tell you what she did. She got up out of her seat. It was during the invitation. How many know that the older you get, and I find it in my own heart, the older you get, sometimes the harder your heart gets. Come on, talk to me. The older we get, the more cynical we become. We get so frustrated with our country and the president and all this mess going on about Trayvon Martin and all of this deal going on in America. Listen to me, beloved, I love you, but I got to tell you, because I've had to wrestle it in my own heart. It makes us ineffective to be soul winners and godly men and women. Don't you see this is a ploy of the devil? Don't you see that this is the devil's trade traffic trying to knock you out of the will of God, get you negative, get you talking about a bunch of stuff you can't fix and I can't fix, instead of looking at souls that need Jesus, instead of looking at people who need help from God? We can't fix a bunch of the mess up there. Only God can. And we just need to let some of that stuff go. It's absolutely consuming us. It's making us negative. I'm telling you, because I battle it as well as you do. And if I'm not careful, I can be consumed by it. I can think about it. I can get negative about it. And next thing you know, I'm not living a life of victory. I'm living in bondage. God can make you a blessing, and God wants to bless you. This dear lady, 75 years old, you know what she did? She got up and she went over there. I saw her with my own eyes. It was during the invitation. The power of God was there. The glory was there. No doubt about it. Not because of me, but because of him. She got up out of her seat. She went over there to another lady and hugged her neck and started crying. You know what she was doing? Confessing her sin. She was saying to the other lady, this is an older lady that took the initiative. She said, I don't know what all she said. I don't know, but I know this. Later I found out. They had been at odds with each other. They had been saying some words, and the bottom line is they weren't in fellowship. And God got a hold of her heart, and she wanted to make it right. And I want you to know, listen, beloved, it was like a blockage. And all of a sudden, when that took place, it was like the blockage was removed, and the power of God flowed to the church. Can I tell you, if you got a bad attitude and you got aught against your brother or sister, or you come to the house of God and you got a negative, things aren't going, and we all do, granted, if we don't deal with it, we get negative, and people around us just sense that we're bitter and we're resentful, but today we don't have to leave that way, amen, and amen, and amen. And see, God wants to take you from point A to point B. First, before the storm, preparation. Listen to me, beloved. You may not be in a storm now, but God is preparing you right now for the storm. Can y'all hear me? I said, God is preparing. You say, oh, things are going good with me. I'm not facing any troubles. Everything. Well, life's full of storms. Preparation. Get prepared for the storm. Number two, not only before the storm, but notice in the storm, not only preparation, but confirmation. Watch this. They're sailing. They're fixing to go. They're in the ship, Alexandria. They're going on their journey, but all of a sudden, Paul said, wait a minute. Before we leave, I got a feeling this journey is going to find, we're going to find ourselves in a storm. Have you ever felt that that when you prayed that God showed you, you're going to go through some trials, you're going to go through some troubles? Paul said, we shouldn't sail, but they didn't listen to him. They went ahead and sailed anyway. Keep in mind, he's a prisoner. He's going to Rome, to Jerusalem. And in the middle of the voyage, right when they're in this voyage, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that a hurricane wind, northeastern wind, with the air masses just right, a storm blew up. We're talking about a big ship now, 100 feet long, approximately 1,000 tons, carrying cargo, carrying grain. It's not a little bitty old boat. And yet they went in the storm, and in the account that Luke records, it knocked them off their course about 25 miles. Have you ever been in a boat and the storm come up? Have you ever been in a boat and the storm come up? We're talking about big motors and all. We're talking about sails. We're talking about ways they navigated back during those days. Now keep in mind, the Apostle Paul had sailed before. He had been in the deep numerous times. He wasn't an amateur. He wasn't a novice. But wait a minute. In a storm. Are you in a storm right now? What about your health? Man, I don't know what I'm going to do. What about your finances? I don't know what I'm going to do. Like I read the note just now. people in the church family right now. You say, well, I don't know how I'm going to pay this, and I don't know what am I going to be able to do this. You might be in a financial storm. You might be in an emotional storm. Things might not be right with your loved ones. Maybe things aren't right there, and it's a storm you're in. It might be a spiritual storm. You might have anger in your heart. You might have lust in your mind. You might be facing some kind of spiritual. You might just be feeling, like we was talking about a minute ago, being negative about everything. God help us. God help us. And so in the storm, confirmation. Now watch this. I can see Paul and the crowd in my mind's eye. They're knocked off course. Things are going wrong. And all of a sudden, watch this. It looks like all hope is gone. Have you been there? Have you ever been in a situation when your back was up against the wall? The wind wasn't blowing on your back anymore. Rather, the wind was blowing in your face. Everything right. It looked like all hope was gone. Have you ever felt hopeless? Talk to me, somebody. Have you ever felt hopeless? Have you ever felt like there's no hope? The sun didn't shine for days. The moon was not shining. The stars, it was cloudy. Have you ever been on a boat and been tossed? They hadn't eaten for 14 days. Now, whether it was they were fasting or whether it was just sick to the stomach, have you ever been seasick? I went on one boat one time on this cruise that the Lord allowed us to go, and you as a church family sent us on this cruise, Charles Stanley, In Touch Ministries. Well, I mean, this is a big ship. This is one of these cruise ships. And all of a sudden, one day they said, we're not going to be able to do this because of this. And I went up on the upper deck, and the pool, the swimming pool up on the upper deck, it was going like this, and the water was splashing on that side. And then it'd go like this, and the water splashing. I said, I'm in trouble. I was sick as a dog. I'm talking about seasick. The patch didn't work. The pill didn't work. Nothing worked. I was on my back, just incapacitated for at least 6 hours. How many know what I'm talking about? Y'all don't laugh too loud. You're going to be next, amen? I'm telling you the truth. Brother Pleas Hayes told me when the army, he got on the ship and he was sailing over to Germany, I believe he told me. He said everybody on the ship was sick. He said, I've never gotten on a ship since that time. Seasick. This crowd was seasick. How many of you were in the Navy, weren't you, Brother John? You were in the Air Force, weren't you, Brother Bill? You've been sick too. Not a good feeling. 14 days, no food, nothing. And the sun hadn't shined. Am I preaching to anybody today? You're going through some kind of situation. You say they're never going to change. It's not going to be a breakthrough. I don't know if we're ever going to get this thing fixed. Watch this. I'm never going to get out of debt. Are you saying that? You're going through a storm right now. And God says, in the storm. Here's what I want you to remember. Before the storm, preparation. In the storm, confirmation. What do I mean by confirmation? God shows up and God shows out when we're in the storm. Hallelujah. I think I have a shouting spell right there. Right when you're in the storm and it doesn't look like you're going to make your way clear. I mean, you can't see light at the end of the tunnel. And it just seems like all hope is gone. That's when God, when we cry out to Him, if you'll notice, Paul said the angel appeared to him. How many believe in angels? The angel appeared to him and said, Paul, don't you be afraid. You're going to go to Rome. I want you to know when God confirms He's going to do something when you're in a storm, you can stand on that promise. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, that's what you need to do today is get that confirmation. Lord, what are you up to when I'm in the storm? What do you want? How do you want me to be a blessing? How do you want to bless me, Lord? I'm in a storm. Speak to my heart. Once God showed Paul, son, he said that angel said, you're going to Rome. Be of good cheer. Well, when God gives you that rhema, you know what Paul the apostle did? In the storm, all hope looked like it was gone. But then he said, be of good cheer. He said, everybody's going to be okay. God showed me everybody's going to be okay. Now, don't you imagine the sailors on the ship and people around you, they're thinking, you're crazy. Here's what I want you to remember. Three important lessons to learn when you're in a storm. Don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it. Write them down. Number one, and I believe God spoke to my heart about this thing. Now, I'm not trying to sound like I know it all, but I believe it's going to help somebody. Number one, when you're going through a storm, don't trust your way you feel, but trust where you're going. Don't trust how you feel. Feelings will come and feelings will go. Don't trust alone how you feel, but trust where you're going. Paul, you're going to go from Jerusalem. The Lord had already told him, I'm going to take you over here to Rome. You're going to appear before Caesar. He's right in the middle of this voyage. And then if he trusts his feelings, he said, I'm going to make it. We're not going to make it. The sky's falling. And so often we trust our feelings rather than we trust in God by faith. Can I get an amen? Don't trust how you feel. I know you don't feel like you're going to make it. I know you feel like God's abandoned you. I know you don't feel like this thing's never going to get fixed. I know you don't feel like they're never going to get right. I know you don't feel like I'm never going to get out of debt. I know you don't feel like I'm never going to find a good job. I'm not going to find the right relationship. God, I've this. Don't trust how you feel. Trust where you're going. This is a journey. God's got you on a journey. God's wanting to bless you through the journey. You know what we want? Here's what we want. Are you listening? Say amen if you're listening. Here's what we want. We want to get from point, see if this is you, see if you agree. We want to get from point A to point B, and we don't want a whole lot of interference between point A and point B. God says, nope, I've got another plan for you. I've got another purpose for you. I'm going to mold you. I'm going to make you. I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to refine you from the journey, in the journey. I'm going to get, watch this. Don't miss this now. God says, I'm going to make you a blessing. You're not really ready to be a blessing yet. You've got to go through some stuff first. Then you're going to be a blessing. Hang on that thought, because we're going to see in Acts 28 in a moment, God was taking Paul to be a blessing somewhere. You think that storm that you're going through has no importance whatsoever. You're going to see the Lord was preparing his servant, and he's preparing you and me. All right? Number one, don't trust how you feel. Trust where you're going. Hallelujah. Number two, are you ready for it? Say amen if you're ready. Don't listen to what people say. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't listen to what people say. Listen to the Holy Spirit. If Paul would have listened to that crowd on that ship, they were saying, we're sunk. It's no use. Matter of fact, you know what they did? They said, I think we've been out here long enough. We know how to do this. These were lost men, more than likely. Handle this storm. We're going to get in these lifeboats. If you read the text, you'll find out that's what they said. We're going to cut these lifeboats loose from the ship, and we're going to make it to shore. Don't listen to people. Listen to the Holy Spirit. You know what Paul said to that crowd? He said, if you get in that lifeboat, you're gone. You're not going to make it. Did they listen? Yeah, they listened. Were they saved? Yeah, they were saved. Now, God may have somebody to come in your storm and speak a blessing to you when you're in your storm. Make sure, watch this, make sure it's a godly person who's living what they say they're living. A lot of people come and tell you bad counsel. They'll tell you what you ought to do. If I was you, I'd do this. This is what you, if it was my child, I'd do this. Yeah, if it was yours, you'd do that, but it's not yours, it's mine. Y'all didn't hear me. If it's my husband, my wife, I'd do this. Well, it's not your husband, it's not your wife, it's mine. Hello. Be careful what other people will tell you what you ought to do when you're in a storm. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Paul, listen to the Holy Spirit. No wonder. Number three, not only listen to the Holy Spirit, don't listen to what people tell you, but number three, be careful what you see when you're in a storm. But trust what you know. Trust what you know. I know what we, I see this. This is happening, and I don't understand why this is happening. I can't figure out this. Be careful what you see when you're in a storm, but trust what you know. God says, I'm going to take you through this storm. I'm going to be with you in the storm. Everything's going to be okay. Then last but not least, in the storm, preparation. Or rather, before the storm, preparation. Number two, in the storm, confirmation. There's some of you right now that are in a storm. You need a word from God today. You need a word from God right now. You need to say, God, speak to my heart. What are you up to? Are you wanting to be bless me? Are you wanting me to be a blessing when I'm going through this? Lord, how do you want me to be a blessing? How many know that it's not all about us? It's about the will of God for you. Hello. It's God's will for other people to be blessed through the storm. All right, number three. After the storm, direction. In the storm, confirmation. Before the storm, preparation. After the storm, direction. Paul said, hey, let's break bread and eat. 14 days, hadn't seen the sun, hadn't seen the moon, hadn't seen the stars. He said, man, let's eat some bread. He broke bread. I don't think it was the Lord's Supper. Some suggest it was the Lord's Supper, but whatever you think. Point is, he broke bread. They hadn't eaten in a long time. And then they're getting close to an island. Can you see them in your mind's eye? He said, don't cut them lifeboats. Don't get in them lifeboats. You won't make it. He said, I tell you what we need to do. Some of those that know how to swim, let's jump in the water and swim. But those who don't know how to swim, let's grab something, float on, and we're going to float on to this island. If you look in chapter 28, look in chapter 28 of the book of Acts, and I'm going to wind this thing down. Look in chapter 28 of the book of Acts. And when they were escaped, verse 1, then they knew the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain. And because of the cold. Now watch this. God said, Paul, I'm going to take you from point A to point B. Where's God taking you? Has God told you he's going to take you somewhere? Sure he has. Sure you're on a journey. We're all in a journey. But in the middle of this journey to go to Rome, a storm blew up. Are you in a storm right now? Oh yeah, you're in a storm. You might be fixing to go in a storm. But confirmation, God says, I'm going to be with you. I want to bless you when you're in the storm. I know you don't like the storms. I know you'd rather not go through a storm. I know you'd rather it be sunny and the sun shining, but it's in the storm. I'm going to make you a blessing, and in the storm, I'm going to bless you. And when you finally come out of the storm, whoa, when you finally come out of the storm, you're going to look back and see great things I've done. And not only that, but I'm going to make you a blessing to others when you come through the storm. How do I know that? Because if you read Acts 28, here's what you'll find. They landed on this island. It's cold. It's rainy. They built a fire. Two things I want you to remember. When you go through a storm, and God blesses you, makes you a blessing. Number one, your faith is strengthened. Number two, your testimony is lengthened. Your faith is strengthened, and your testimony is lengthened. Hold that thought. They come to this island. Paul's gathering up some sticks, and guess what happens? He's bitten by a viper. That's right. He gets while they land on this island, and a viper latches hold of his hand. God's just brought him to a storm. God, are you going to let him die now? Lord, you just brought him through. He could have died out there in the ocean. I mean, a lot of people died in the Titanic, and people sunk, and lives were lost. God says, nope, I'm not finished with you yet. I believe this is a poisonous viper. Some say right now on that island there's not poisonous snakes like that. It doesn't matter. The point is, even the natives looked at him. First they thought he was a murderer because he had been bit by a snake. Next they looked at him and said, man, he's a god. He's not dying. Expect him to fall over any moment, but he didn't. How many believe that when you go through a storm, God pulls you through the storm, God knows how to bless you and make you a blessing? God was preparing him for what he was fixing to do. God's preparing you in your life. Then Publius, he's one of the head honchos on this island. His dad is sick. He's burned up with a fever. He's got a bloody flux. I looked that word up, dysentery. He was passing blood. He was in bad shape. You can see it in Acts 28. He needed somebody to pray for him. He needed somebody that could get a hold of God. I'll tell you, if there's ever a time we lived, this old world right there needs somebody to pray for them to get a hold of God. And you're the one. You're the one. You're the one. You're the one to get a hold of God for somebody else. Here, God brought this man through this. After, in the storm confirmation, before the storm preparation, but after the storm direction, God's directing the steps of Paul. Guess what happens? This man's sick. He needs somebody to pray for him. So what happens? The Apostle Paul puts his hands on him. Can you see? He puts his hands on him and he prays. Guess what happens? Man's healed. How many believe that God can heal? God can heal. God is in the healing business. The will of God is always supreme when it comes to healing. And it may be the will of God. I'm looking at some faces here. It may be the will of God to take the loved one to glory for the ultimate healing. But God's will be done. And thus we need to pray, Lord, if it's your will, bring healing. Paul, I believe, prayed for this man. You can see it in Acts 28. God's preparing you to pray for somebody. And by the way, you see this reference where only a couple of times in Scripture and prayed. And I'll note this, and my time's about gone. You find out after he healed this man, what else happened? They were bringing people all over the island that needed healing. If there was ever a time our world is desperate for somebody, get a hold of God. Somebody, pray for me. Somebody, I believe God's real. I don't think our God's dead. He's a living God. He's got power in his hands. He can do anything but fail. And we've got to trust him. The world, somebody in your family needs you to get a hold of God. Will you do it? They brought many. By the way, quickly, and I'll be done. Number one, when Paul laid his hands on that man, he was supernaturally healed. That speaks of without medicine. That speaks of supernatural divine healing. However, the next word where it says healed in Acts 28 speaks of a cure, therapeuo, meaning that I believe God brings healing, miracle or medicine. Amen. God can use medicine too for healing. And there's a prime example right there in Acts 28. When you go through the storm, beloved, our faith is strengthened. And our testimony is lengthened. Look at the influence Paul had. Later in that chapter, you find out he's witnessing, sharing his faith to Jews and Gentiles alike. God had brought him through it. You've got to go to Rome. And he's there and with an open door to preach the gospel. Let's wrap it up now, beloved, as you think. What storm are you going through right now? Before the storm, preparation. Will you prepare your heart right now? Because there's a storm on the horizon. In the storm. You're in a storm now. Will you get a word from God? Lord, what are you up to? Would you stand to your feet with me this morning?